You've seen the bright and up-and-coming scientists, and now you get the old crippled guy who can't remember where he put his pillbox last night. And I have more slides than I have time for, so I'll jump right into it. I'm going to be talking about some phosphorus field trials that we have conducted over several years. Just by way of review, plants drink their nutrients, including phosphorus. We get very poor recoveries, lots of data out there on different levels, but we don't get much of the phosphorus in the plant in the first year. We're fighting some equilibrium chemistry issues that I don't have time to talk about, but as we attempt to attack this, that's one of the things we keep in mind in terms of trying to be more efficient. One of the things that we have problems with is we get depositions in calcareous soils where ideal in the western United States. We get calcite deposits that occur in soil, and that doesn't necessarily represent phosphorus that's lost forever, but it reduces the availability, and with time, eventually we lose that. I'm going to be talking mostly about potato today. I didn't put that in my presentation because I knew nobody would come except for Terry. But I do have some corn data too. But potatoes are really interesting. It's a very interesting species because it's very shallow rooted. It doesn't have a lot in the way of root hairs, and it's extremely inefficient in its uptake of phosphorus, and not just phosphorus either. But so it takes a lot of phosphorus. We put on pea fertilizer rates that would make most people cry. So it's an important nutrient for us. Just a couple of comparisons here in terms of looking at cabbage and carrot, also shallow rooted and fairly inefficient, but potato, as you can see, it takes a lot of fertilizer to get to where we're having 100% relative yield. Here's a shot of one of our favorite shots we love to show, Weaver, and nothing's changed much since 1926. Potato's still pretty shallow rooted and pretty inefficient, especially early in the season. So when we talk about these 4 R's of stewardship, we talk about different ways of trying to attack this. We've done research looking at all of these things, rate, timing, et cetera. I'm going to be mostly focusing today on sources, though. I've got 3 sources that I'll be talking about. Well, actually 4, but 2 of them are kind of related. I started doing some research a few years ago when I was at the University of Idaho, and Jeff Stark and I did some work with humic acid. And I was very skeptical at the beginning. We did work with on calcareous soils on potatoes with moderate soil test levels. And we essentially had two rates of fertilizer application. If you're bad at math like me, those are 15 and 30 gallons per acre of 1034 with and without humic acid. And we applied that 8 centimeters band to the side of the seed. And the humic acid was put on a ratio of 1 to 10. And what we found is that, these differences are statistically significant, not at the 5% level, to be honest, but at the 10% level. But one of the things that we noticed that we had fairly consistent increases. So we're looking at a lot of data right there, but just notice that at the same rate of phosphorus, this is, and I forgot to change this to megagrams per hectare. This is in English units. I apologize, but we see an increase in yield, and we see that at both rates, both the high and the low rate, and we see it in all 3 years. Again, the statistics were not super strong significance, but consistent responses in our calcareous soils. So, and there's a lot of other data I could show you, but I don't have time. But what we've found is that humic acid does increase phosphorus in the petioles, and that we had increases in total U.S. number one yields. We also found that we had a size shift, which was a good thing for a potato grower, and also specific gravities. Now, my recommendations at that time were that this works in low organic matter soils, calcareous soils. It had to be applied in conjunction with the nutrient. That's how we applied it, and it needed to be in a concentrated band. A lot of my data has been misused over the years, trying to extrapolate it into other types of soils. And I've seen a lot of data where humic acid doesn't show any response. But in our really low organic matter calcareous soils, especially in potato, it works. And so that's an interesting concept. So we've more recently done a lot of work with another product that's got humic acid as one of the acids, but it's got several organic acids. It's a little different than just adding humic acid into a mix. It actually goes through manufacturing process where the phosphorus is bonded directly to these organic acids. And the name of the product is Carbon P. Again, I have tons of data I could show you, but I'm going to narrow it down to two slides. And what this slide shows you is that it's increases solubility. So you're comparing, you're looking at the increase in solubility, and I don't have time to explain how we did it, but these are leaching columns. We're looking at phosphorus being mobile in the soil, and we're comparing this Carbon P to ammonium polyphosphate, 10340, and MAP. And what you're seeing is that we've got tremendous increases in solubility, being able to move phosphorus through the soil, where we normally think of it phosphorus as being immobile, and it lasted through the season. By the time a year is over, it's pretty well done, but we've got some really interesting data there. What does that mean for the plant? Well, we've done dozens and dozens of studies with several crops. I told you I had a little corn data. There it is. But we can see that we got a 10% average increase in yield with these trials. And we also found similar 4 to 9% increases with these other species. And in most cases, we're seeing some pretty significant increases in the phosphorus in the plant. So that's exciting. One of the things, though, we learned with this whole process is that if we put on too much phosphorus, we no longer have the benefit. I mean, these are at low rates. We can reduce the rate. And if we don't reduce the rate, we don't get a response, which leads me into my next product that I'll be talking about. So organic acid bonding with phosphorus definitely improved the solubility. Does that work on other cropping systems, other soils? Maybe, maybe not. We've done a little bit of work with acid soils, but we just don't have a lot of data at this point for me to talk about. Does increase phosphorus uptake impacts early season crop physiology parameters, which I could talk about, and we see some pretty interesting increases when we have these at low rates. Okay, now I want to talk about another product, Avail. We're not going to talk about the mode of action. There's a lot of questions about how the mode of action would work or not work, so I don't want to get into that because I don't have a half hour. Jeff Stark and I, again, both have done some studies. We've done some together. We've done some separately. And we're seeing positive results with Avail and potatoes in our Idaho soils. I was really reluctant to publish that data because there was quite a bit of anti-Avail sentiment out there in the world. So I really was kind of like, do I really want to publish this and take the heat? So I spent a lot of time looking into it. And we went ahead and published, and I did take a lot of heat. And so we started doing some work. I looked at, there was a meta-analysis that was done and it was published in the Agronomy Journal. Probably some flaws in that study, in my opinion. And we then took that approach and did a similar meta-analysis, nowhere near 56,000, but about 500 sites. I was proud of that. That was a lot of work for 500 different site locations, but lots of different crops. And here's the thing. This is a revelation, is that phosphorus response is related to soil test level. Can you imagine that? So sometimes I think we forget the basics, for goodness sakes. And many of these trials were done at very high levels of soil test phosphorus. So when you lump all that together, it kind of shows, well, Avail didn't perform very well. Well, I took all those trials and I separated them out by soil tests. And I standardized, I use IP&I's soil test categories. They have 15 different categories, and I tried to convert all the brays and everything, Malic 3s, and got everything down. And if anybody wants to see my methods, you're welcome to look at that. But what we found is that the lower levels, we were seeing some overall, these are averages over all of these 500 sites, we're seeing responses at the low soil test levels. At the high soil test levels, we are no longer seeing any advantage to Avail as an additive to enhance phosphorus fertilizers. In fact, at the high end, and I saw some of this in my own data, some negative responses. So it's quite possible to get too much phosphorus and cause some problems. We also found, again, our basic soil chemistry that we all should have remembered to learn is that we have a bigger likelihood of getting a response to phosphorus fertilizer if the pH is high or low. And so I kind of also divided those out by those categories and found that, once again, we had a better response to Avail at both alkaline soils and in acid soils. A lot of the trials that were done in that neutral area, and it's just not as responsive. Much more likely to get a response in my part of the world with these calcareous soils that we deal with than I am with a neutral soil. All right, rate is also important. If I put on too much phosphorus and I'm already at the top of my yield response curve, adding an enhanced material isn't going to do me any good. We found that with the carbon P. We found it in many cases. If I had to put enough phosphate on, I'm not going to see a response. So what we did is I took these studies and I split them out and said, okay, what would I consider a low rate versus a high rate? And once again, when I had a low rate of phosphorus, the avail seemed to provide an advantage versus at a high rate. When you put all this together, we actually showed about a 3% increase with avail over all 500. But when we start looking at these other factors, we are increasing the odds of seeing a response to avail. And I'll stand by that data. It basically gave me confidence in my data, showed me that we do see some positive responses with this particular product. We've been doing some work more recently with some slow release. I don't know if that's the right word. Probably not. Alan will probably... Oh, he's shaking his head. Okay, good. Crystal Green is a product from Ostara. And by the way, Avail is Verdesian, Simplot. I forgot to mention that. But this particular product, Crystal Green, is an Ostara product. The concept here is a little different, not so much trying to improve solubility, but delay release. And the idea is that it's not water soluble. It is citrate soluble. And so theoretically, when it comes in contact with plant root exudates that are acidic, that it would then dissolve. We've tested that in our labs. Others have tested it as well. And it seems to work in terms of mode of action. So we've done a bunch of trials. I'm going to talk about two. We've done some stuff in 2015 that I'm not going to show you, which was largely non-responsive, actually. And again, similar types of soil conditions that we had with the other trials. But I'm just going to show you two sites in the interest of time, and I'm only going to show you the U.S. number one yields. But, you know, site one here, we got a nice response. The map, what you're looking at here, sorry, I probably should explain this a little bit, but you've got a control there on the left, and then I've got 100%, which means 100% of the recommended rate, and each site was a little different, so I just standardized them by calling it 100%. So those next two bars are at 100% of what's recommended, and 0/100 means 0 crystal green, 100% as MAP. So that bar is showing a response of MAP over the control. The third set of bars there is looking at crystal green combo with 25% crystal green and 75% MAP, and then you're looking at two reduced rates to the right there. So you can see we got a nice little response at one location. We did not see a response at the other location. We've got quite a bit of data on this over the last few years. Don Hornick's got some data. There's been a little bit of data out of Minnesota as well. Kind of a mixed bag. Again, not huge responses. I have more non-responsive sites than I have responsive sites. But once in a while, I am seeing a significant response, enough that it's got me curious. Again, I think we're playing with rate issues. This particular product has magnesium in it. I also believe it's got a bunch of boron in it because my boron levels go really high, and sometimes I actually think we're getting too much boron if I put in too much crystal green. I've actually seen some levels that what I thought were toxic. All right, conclusion. We do have products that can enhance phosphorus efficiency. However, the enhancement only works if the phosphorus response is expected due to I need a low soil test level, I need reduced phosphorus rates. I don't think with any of these products that if I'm going to be putting on the full rate that's recommended, that I'm going to get any enhancement. I've got to cut the rate back in order to see that enhancement. I think that's my main message here. And soil and other conditions like pH need to be conducive to that response. So, questions? I have time for maybe one question.
Yeah? You're lucky. You had some extra time, so.
Okay.
You can do a few.
All right. Yes. Yeah, that's a really tough question, and that would take me a long time to explain because I got so many different crops. What I did is I just went in and said, okay, you know, like corn and those kinds of things. I said, you know, if I'm over 100 pounds per acre, that was high, you know. So I was pretty liberal on the high end. With potatoes, it was like 200. But I would be happy to share that with you, but it's way too complex to say that short.
Okay.
shortly. Yes.
Yes, Hopkins McDowell for living information. The next 1 or 2 months, there'll be a paper published by the Australian Journal of Soil Research, dealing with the theoretical consideration of Adair. In that paper, the Adair is supposed to regulate carbon and aluminum, therefore produce fixation. So this paper compares the chelation strength of Adair with calcium, iron, aluminum versus the precipitation of chelation of iron, aluminum, calcium with phosphorus. And in Adair, the binding strength is much, much weaker than the precipitation of calcium phosphate, iron, aluminum phosphate, aluminum phosphate, based on the
Yes. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. So I didn't talk about mode of action. I don't know how the mode of action works. I'll let Terry talk about it. But, well, in practicality, it seems to work. So, Tom, I'll take your question now. Thank you. I tried to include everything that was reasonable. In fact, we did a lot of work in terms of, you know, stuff that was published, things that aren't published. We separated all that out by, so we've got kind of a whole subset of data on, you know, high quality data versus lower quality data. But we included everything that had statistical, everything that was replicated that had a statistical base, we went ahead and included. So, thank you.